Sometimes life feels out of our control. We get stuck in trauma, old patterns, and change feels out of reach. Sometimes it feels like fate. We want to help you break out of old, unhelpful patterns and become healthier. We're Fate Resilience, taking control of the outcome.
With licensed therapists, Jennifer Oxford,
Taylor Madsen,
Haley Mayer.
Today, we're going to go on to the next part of the drama triangle. Last time we talked about victim and creator. Today, we're going to talk about persecutor and challenger. Persecutor is when we want to punish someone because we feel like we haven't been treated fairly or they haven't done everything that we feel like they should be doing. And so we attack, we blame, we're verbally abusive, we might be physically abusive, but we're just trying to balance the scales of justice in our eyes. And the problem with that is that people aren't able to balance the scales of justice. We just will never feel satisfied.
I'll never be satisfied.
Okay.
So persecutors are also hypercritical. Like, they're always there pointing out what's going wrong. They have really strict rules and expectations. Like, it's, you can't do a lot. They have what I'm going to call is a firm boundary. Like, I'm a real believer in boundaries, but persecutors also have unrealistic expectations, and they tend
they have rigidity, right?
That's the right word. And they tend to think that they have to win at all costs. Like, it has to go their way. We have to do this my way in order for me to be safe. Because remember that the drama triangle is an anxiety-based model. So all three roles are going to be in anxiety. So persecutors have a lot of anxiety and a lot of criticism. They're focused on finding fault, looking for control, order, and then rigidity, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think one of the things too with persecutor is that there's this feeling, if I don't point out, again, the need, we're going back to need, victim, the need is to state I was hurt by someone. Persecutor, the need is to state they hurt me and there needs to be accountability, right? And so, unfortunately, a lot of people feel like they have to hold on to this persecutor mode, because if they do not give accountability to this person or put accountability upon this person, then who will, right? No one else will. And so it's that feeling of, I need to dominate, blame, tear down, things like that. Because if I don't, no one else will draw accountability to this person.
And even if they do, it won't be enough. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, revenge emotionally is sweet.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like a sugar-coated turd. It's only sweet for a little bit.
That's like, and then it's very,
absolutely it is. It's sweet only for a very short moment, and then it sours and it actually makes the person feel worse for longer than if they had never done any revenge to begin with.
You could have said like a warhead or something like that, but yeah.
Are warheads sweet on the outside?
Yeah. They're sweet. And then
never had a warhead.
Or they're sour on the outside and then they're sweet.
We're talking about the candy, not the like... You know.
The battle defense? Yeah, no, we're not.
Not the military warheads, the actual candy warheads.
Anyways, continue with your turd analogy.
How would you even lick a real warhead, Jen? I'm wondering about security clearances.
I can't.
Jen's like, we moved to Texas for a reason.
I can't confirm or deny that I've ever had a client who's licked a warhead.
Oh, dear gosh. Okay.
Jen gets jaw cancer later in life. Like, we knew it.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't me. Thanks, guys.
If someone persecutes and the person is like, yep, it's because I did that thing. It makes perfect sense. Then the revenge is sweeter and it helps alleviate some of the anxiety or shame or anger that the person is feeling that's driving them to persecute. But if the person is like, well, what the hell? Why did you do that? It actually fuels the anger and the shame and the anxiety. But even when it helps them feel better, it's only very short-lived and it makes them feel worse in the long run.
Yeah.
Well, and go ahead.
You're fine. Go for it.
I was going to say, one of the things that's really important, like if we were to write a recipe on how to be a really good persecutor, you should be angry and or very resentful of everyone else, right? That everyone else is causing the problem, because remember, this is an anxiety-based, problem-focused experience in the drama triangle. And they get, again, really critical, really rigid thinking. very bossy, dominating, controlling. They often believe there's only one way to do things, and anyone who's not doing it that way is the problem. And that's one of the things you'll hear a lot is everyone else is the problem. You just need to do what I'm telling you to do.
Mm-hmm. I think an important thing to look at too is that in the end, persecutor, you've heard all these analogies before, but it's that idea of being a persecutor can often be kind of like what we talked about with resentment. It's trying to poison someone else while you're the one drinking the poison, right? It's in the end, it's going to really tear down your ability to do anything while you're really trying to tear down someone else's. And that's why switching it to challenger is why we need to make those healthy changes, right? Because what challenger does, persecutor, you have to stay and hold your ground and you have to hold the fort down. There's no opportunity to develop, to grow. It really corners you. Challenger, though, is the opposite, where you're still acknowledging something's wrong, okay? But you're deciding to call forth for yourself a learning and growing opportunity. So you're trying to get an action to happen. You're being very conscious about what these things are. And in this sense too, you're kind of going from you and your enemy of someone who did something wrong or someone who did something you don't approve of. And you're turning it into you trying to evoke an action from someone else that's a healthy reaction, right? So essentially, instead of saying like, you're the worst, you always have this be an issue, you look at them and you say, you could do better. You could do this, right? And you're looking at them and it's a situation where I've had couples that they're like, well, you know, my partner really just wants to get into an argument. And so they'll call out all these things that they hate. And then I just want to be a persecutor and be like, well, you do the same thing and you do that. And I let them know and they say, so what should I do? And I say, all you have to do is say, we can handle this better, right?
Which is different than saying, suck it up.
Yeah, yeah. We're saying, I'm not saying like, just deal with it. I'm saying, no, you can draw to the point of, I don't think this is being handled in the right way. Not saying you're the one who's causing all the issues, but you're looking and saying, I don't think this is being handled in the right way. So how do I challenge the scenario and say like, this isn't okay, but I'm not doing it in a way that I'm throwing all the blame on you.
But I'm going to go a level deeper as you're explaining it to say that what happens when you move from persecutor to challenger mm-hmm. is you look at the problem, you're aware that there's a problem, and instead of working on blame or taking it on as a problem to solve, you look at the values and the boundaries around what's going on. So instead of saying you did it too, you're going to say, my goal is to have healthy communication, and this is where a boundary come in. So when you yell at me, or if you call me names, I'm not going to be able to communicate with you. So mm-hmm. challengers are high boundary people, right? And they hold people accountable, and this is one of the reasons that we need them in the empowerment dynamic, is we need accountability and we need to be clear about what are our choices and what are the consequences so that we can make wise decisions, right? And so the challenger is there to hold boundaries and to help create rules, structures, and success for what's going to go on. Mm-hmm. So they very much are willing to identify that problems are normal, but they're looking for, what can this obstacle teach me? What skill or knowledge do I need to gain in order to create what I want to create? And they're very boundaried within their values versus behavior. Some people think, I have a boundary that, you know, they go behavior focused. So I mentioned like not name calling, right? Mm-hmm. So if that's a little more behavioral, if I was to go value based, I might say, hey, we need to be respectful, right? Mm-hmm. And that might move the expectation or the skill or the challenge differently.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we also go into persecutor is blaming everyone else. It's your fault if you know, it's everyone else's fault, where challengers are saying, I can accept my own accountability, and they can hold other people accountable. Because, right? Because if we go into taking all the accountability, what does that suddenly do to us? Then we've shifted out of persecutor into victim.
Right. Well, if we take all of accountability, we've also switched and we essentially take over that whole rescuer mode too, right? So right. Again, it's about that balancing the triangle idea, where, you know, you go too far one way, you're going to be the other title. And if you go the other way, if you're taking absolutely no accountability, then we're victim. We're saying like, oh, just bad things happen and it's never my fault, right? But if you go the other way and you say, like, you know, I need to take all the accountability for you, again, we'll get into coach and rescuer, but you are essentially going into this rescuer mode of, I can't trust you to hold it for yourself, so I'm going to hold it for you. And so persecutor has its own little...
Well, persecutors, instead of giving everyone accountability, so we talked about taking or blaming, but persecutors, they want to give accountability to everyone else and say everyone else mm-hmm. is wrong. Yeah. So when we move from persecutor to challenging, we have to be able to focus on, what am I personally accountable for? Mm-hmm. What can I control in my own thoughts and experiences? And then what are my boundaries? And giving honest feedback to other people and to the situation. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's really important is that persecutors focus on who's right. Challengers are able to identify and focus a little more on relationships and focusing on how do we all move into a healthy situation versus how does one person win or lose.
Yeah, it's persecutor sees everything as being, you know, it needing to be a game stat. Right? Challenger sees it as like, I really don't care about the game. I want us all to have better qualities, right? They're the coach who's looking at it and saying, like, you know, coach of a team who's looking at it and saying, hey, I don't really care if we win or lose. I just want to see that your quality of behavior has gone up, right? That
a real Ted Lasso.
A real Ted Lasso. Ugh, love that, man. But as opposed to, you know, persecutor who's looking at it and saying, I don't care if you did better this time around, I need you to score more points. It doesn't matter, right? So persecutor and challenger have those two different, honestly, goals in mind, right? They both, the person who's in persecutor is going to pretend like their goal is the same as the person in challenger. But really, when you look at it and what's actually implementing them and what's getting them to go in their drive, they're not getting driven by the same type of gas in their engine.
Unfortunately, people use persecutor as a means of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't want to do that. That's what girls do. Or, oh, what a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
Or they'll start calling their kids names, or they'll belittle them. They'll shame them or embarrass them in public as a means of trying to control their kid rather than set an example for their child to follow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing that they do, right, is they are constantly looking for the problem, right? They're constant, persecutors are all problem focused. Where as a challenger, you expect problems, right? We understand that life just will have problems. We can start to get curious about when problems arise, what can we learn or how can we shift within the circumstance? What boundaries do we need to keep, but also what's possible? And so they're very dynamic in that way. And they have a lot of compassion and curiosity, which I think are really valuable skills that we sometimes leave out of parenting, like Taylor was talking about, and even out of problem solving in general, is staying in curiosity and in compassion are really important as far as problem solving from an outcomes-based versus an anxiety-based model.
Mm-hmm.
Challengers also, the other thing is persecutors don't have to have boundaries or expectations for themselves. They just kind of are coming in that like really unboundaried way. So there's sometimes where as therapists we're telling people, you have to have a boundary. Well, this person won't like it if I have a boundary. You're right, you're going to be a challenge to that person. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if you're coming from that challenger healthy boundaries of, I'm not trying to control them, I'm trying to hold my own boundaries, that's okay. And it's mm-hmm. often very important to help instead of like trying to say, oh, become a creator. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do is say, you have to be willing to be a challenge in a healthy way.
So it's very... Well, very rarely has anyone had a situation where they've been challenged in a healthy way. They often... It's persecutor, right? Like as kids in the playground, no one knows how to be a challenger, right? You don't have like little Johnny going up to little Jimmy and being like, was that really the best choice for you? Right? They're gonna look at them and be like, what the crap? Why'd you do that? Right? Like that was all your fault. You left the ball there. You did that, right? And so we don't live with that. So that's something that we definitely have to evolve and learn how to do, right? Because we do only see things black and white as we're younger. And as we develop, we start recognizing not so much that there isn't black and white, they're still there. But when it comes to interactions with people, there are more productive ways to help not just engage in my own growth and learning, but help the people around me engage in their growth and learning as well. Again, not being responsible for it, but if there's a way that I can let people know my emotions that allows them to be able to take accountability and learn from that, then in the end, I'm winning twofold rather than just winning on, I said something really great and snarky, and now that's all I have, right? So with what you're talking about too, when it comes to a challenger and persecutor, as with all of the other roles that we're talking about, whether it be in the empowerment dynamic or being in the drama triangle, especially in the empowerment dynamic, our role, when we play those healthier roles, we actually end up impacting more people and helping more people outside of it. Persecutor is one of those big ones that shows, but we end up not just creating the shame screen someone then has to process through for themselves because we've shamed them into doing what we wanted them to do. We then become a challenger and help them be able to see what happened was not okay, but we're moving through it.
Well, and as we talk about this, it's important too to recognize that the roles in the drama triangle aren't always people. Sometimes they're mm-hmm. situations, sometimes they're experiences, and specifically as we do work, sometimes they're even emotions.
Yeah. What emotions. Do you mean by a situation could be a persecutor or a victim?
So you mean a persecutor or a challenger?
Just any part of it, yeah.
Yeah, paying your rent. Like, I have to pay for my house, and you can either see that, like, it's so unfair, and, like, they're, you know, and I can go victim to that, and the, you know, the rent could be, like, well, if you miss it by one day, then we're going to kick you out of the house kind of a situation. Or you can go from challenge of saying, you know what, this is part of wanting to create a place to live that's healthy and safe for me is that I've got to be able to pay for it. Mm-hmm. And so the boundary is acceptable and I'm accepting the boundary when I go into that. But I also know that does push me. It encourages me to grow. It will hold me accountable without it being merciless.
Yeah. So do you mean that the situations are part of the drama triangle or that we'll respond to situations from the drama triangle?
Both. Situations, we can treat situations as if they are part of the drama triangle.
I agree with that. Not that situations will be the drama triangle.
Right. But we treat them and interact with them sometimes in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that in our experience when often in working with kids, when we started to hold boundaries and we started to say, hey, this is what healthy looks like, right? And often these were kids who had been in terrible circumstances, and they would say, well, because I've been in this terrible circumstance, I shouldn't have to obey rules, or I shouldn't have to follow this, or you should have all this mercy, right? Mm-hmm. And that you holding a rule actually is really mean, and those kinds of things. That in doing that, if we move into challenger and we say, I can totally understand what you're saying, I can totally understand that what you've gone through is really difficult, but if I start to snowplow for you and I remove all the obstacles for you, mm-hmm. I'm not really letting you create anything. I'm leaving you as a victim. And so being a challenger is a really important role in helping the people around you become healthy creators.
Yeah.
Did that make sense, Taylor?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So don't be a jerk by being a persecutor.
Thanks for listening. You can find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Please feel free to rate, subscribe, and review. And if you want to find us on social media, we're on Instagram and Facebook at Fate Resilience. We'd love to hear from you.